Hi, this is Mrs. English. I thought that today we would take an excursus, a little bit of a diversion. We've been studying Paradise Lost, and I would like to present an excursion on angels. We have been reading about angels for many books now in Milton's Paradise Lost, and I wanted to share some information and some research with you. The information that I'm using for this mini-study on angels is from Harper's Bible Dictionary. Harper's Bible Dictionary. And this is available online from CARM, Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, C for Christian Apologetics, A, Research R, Ministry M, www.carm.org. Fascinating. And we have a study on angels. Angels are very active in the Bible, and they are used by God as messengers. Some are warriors, some are servants. The word angel, our English word angel, comes from the Greek word angelos, and it means messenger also. The same word, angelos, means angel, and it also means messenger. And so we interpret by context. Angels are spiritual beings without bodies of flesh and bones, though they apparently have the ability to appear in human form. We know this from the story in Genesis 19, verses 1 to 22, where Abraham entertains angels. Angels had many functions. One of those is that they praised God. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. That was Psalm 103:20. They also serve as messengers to the world. Remember, angelos means both angel and it means messenger. They're messengers to the world. In Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." That was from Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. We also have another instance of Gabriel as a messenger in Luke 2, verses 9 to 14. What else did angels do? They praise God, and we know that they are messengers. They also watch over God's people. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. "For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone." So they are watching. They're watching over. Psalm 91, 11, and 12. And of course, I'm reading from my preferred version, which is the New American Standard. Perhaps not the most beautiful translation of the Bible, but certainly the most literal after the Greek. What else do angels do? They praise God, they are messengers to the world, they watch over God's people, and they are sometimes instruments of God's judgment. Matthew chapter 13, verses 49 and 50. "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, angels praise God. They are messengers to the world. They watch over God's people and sometimes are instruments of God's judgment. The Bible tells us that God created the angels and that at some time in the distant past, there was a rebellion in heaven and many of the angels fell. Apparently, it was the elect angels that did not fall. 1 Timothy 5:21. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. And I have to admit that before I made this study of the angels, I had never read 1 Timothy 5:21 in that way before. It had never occurred to me that the text did not say angels, that the text says chosen angels. So, angels praise God, angels are messengers to the world, angels watch over God's people, angels are sometimes used as instruments of God's judgment, and angels apparently at one time were rebellious, and it was the elect angels that did not fall. The Bible says that Christ created angels. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, and this is referencing Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Very interesting. Colossians 1, 16. What else do angels do? They praise God. They are messengers to the world. They watch over God's people, sometimes have been used as instruments of God's judgment. It may be that it was the elect angels that did not fall. That was what we saw in 1 Timothy 5:21. And in Colossians 1:16, we just saw that Christ created the angels. Angels carry out the will of God. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Psalm 103, 20. Matthew chapter 6, 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. From Psalm 103, 20 and Matthew 16, we can see clearly angels carry out the will of God. They perform his word, they obey the voice of his word, that was Psalm 103, 20, and Matthew tells us, your kingdom come, your will be done, and this is Jesus praying, on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus himself is telling us in Matthew 6:10 that he wants his Father's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that angels carry out the will of God. Angels worship God and Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's from Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, and when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Hebrews 1, 6. What else do we know about angels? We know they do the will of the Lord. We know that they worship God and Christ, and angels are wise. Angels are wise. 2 Samuel 14:20. In order to change the appearance of things, your servant Joab has done this thing. But my Lord is wise, like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all that is in the earth. Although this is not the subject or the topic of this sentence, it is mentioned peripherally However, this verse clearly in 2 Samuel 14:20 tells us that angels of God are wise. What else do we know about angels? Angels are mighty. So, angels perform the will of the Lord, obey His word, they worship God in Christ, angels are wise, and angels are mighty. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Now, that's the second time we've seen that verse. Psalm 103, verse 20. What else do we know about angels? They obey His word. They worship God in Christ. They are wise. They are mighty. They are holy. Matthew 25, verse 31. And this is Jesus speaking very near the end of the book of Matthew. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and this glory is doxa. It's the Greek word doxa. It's similar to the Latin word that we get the doxology from. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, His doxa, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And in the Greek text, Matthew 25:31 says they are the angelos. You have one angel, you have one angelos. If you have two angels, you have angeloi. The oi at the end of a word in Greek makes it a plural word. And the Greek text says, hagioi angeloi, the holy, hagios, the holy angels. What else do we know about angels? Angels are innumerable. They perform the word of the Lord. They worship God in Christ. Angels are wise. Angels are mighty. Angels are holy. Angels are innumerable. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. Angels are innumerable. There are many, many, many. However, angels are not to be worshipped because they are creatures. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. That was Colossians 2, 18. Also Revelations chapter 19, verse 10. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. He's talking about an angel. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours, and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That was Revelations 19:10. You can see the same event in Revelations 22:9, where an angel says, do not worship me. So, angels obey God's word. They worship God in Christ. They are wise. Angels are mighty. Angels are holy. Angels are innumerable. There are myriads of them. And angels are not to be worshipped. Are there different kinds of angels? In Paradise Lost, in Milton's Paradise Lost, we see this repeatedly. There are different kinds of angels. And we understand that Milton is coming from his 17th century worldview. He is part of that 17th century worldview. He also is very much on the threshold of the next century and does show some of that as far as the Age of Enlightenment and referring to God with epithets, although this is also part of his epic tradition that he's imitating. But Milton reflects both of those centuries, the 1600s, his own century, and the 1700s, the century to come, which will be the century that's the formation of our country as a nation. Are there different kinds of angels? We read Paradise Lost and we wonder, are there different kinds of angels? How correct or how incorrect is Milton? Apparently, there are different kinds of angels with different characteristics and different roles. Cherubim, seraphim, and archangels. These are our three categories. Cherubim, seraphim, and archangels. These cherubim are what typically get portrayed as cherubs. And we have a little bit of a theological problem here. When we see cherubs depicted in art, they are usually adorable, chubby, naked little children with cloth draped over them in just the right places. But they look very simple. They look very naive. They do not look dangerous. Cherubim, seraphim, and angels. We have one cherub, two cherubim. We have one seraph, two seraphim, and an archangel. It may be that there are powers and principalities that further describe ranks in the angelic realm, but that is debated, and I certainly would not enter into that controversy. Nevertheless, our study is taken from primarily from Harper's Bible Dictionary. And we are going to focus on the three main groups, the seraphim, the cherubim, and archangels. Group one, the seraphim. Remember, we have one seraph, two seraphim. Isaiah 6:2. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. That is from Isaiah 6:2. This is very similar to some of the descriptions that we just read. I believe the description of Raphael fits this in Paradise Lost. They praise God. Continuing in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So they praise God. The word seraphim is probably a translation of the fiery ones. Seraph in Hebrew means fiery. Seraphim may mean the fiery ones, and that would be appropriate. It probably comes from the fiery imagery that is associated with the presence of God. And you may consult with Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 27. For an image of that. This probably is the fiery ones. Two, the cherubim. And I will read from Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That's Genesis 3:24. We'll see this at the end of Milton's Paradise Lost. And believe me, these cherubim standing at the east of the Garden of Eden who drive Adam and Eve out and keep the way of the Tree of Life do not seem to me to fit the modern artistic interpretation of cherub. You can also take a look at Exodus chapter 25, verses 18 to 22. Exodus 25, verses 18 to 22. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. Cherubim are typically represented with wings, feet, and hands, but are described in different forms as having two faces or even four faces. In Ezekiel 41, 18, they have two faces. And in Ezekiel 10, 21, these cherubim have four faces. Cherubim were considered to be angels that guarded sacred things. In Genesis 3:24, what do they guard? The tree of life. In 1 Samuel 4:4, they are over the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat, guarding something very sacred. Also, look at Psalm 80, verse 1, and Psalm 99, 1. Figures of cherubs were embroidered on the temple veil. Read Exodus 26, verse 31, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 7. And they also lavished Solomon's temple. 1 Kings, chapter 6, verse 26, and following. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The word archangel, this is our next category, archangel. The word archangel is not found in the Old Testament. References to Michael, archangel, appear only in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and also in Jude 9. However, Gabriel, who is considered an archangel, appears in both the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, he's found in Daniel chapter 8, verses 15 through 26, and Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 through 27. So in the Old Testament, we see references to Gabriel as an archangel in Daniel 8, verses 15 to 26, and Daniel 9, verses 21 to 27. In the New Testament, Gabriel is mentioned in Luke 1, verses 11 through 20, and verses 26 to 38. He seems to be a messenger angel. On the other hand, Michael the archangel seems to be a warrior angel. Take a look at Revelation 12, 7. And he seems to be a warrior angel who does battle. Take a look at Daniel again. Go to chapter 10 and read verse 13. Then read verse 21. Then go forward to Daniel chapter 12 and read verse 1. An interesting note is that in Romans 8, 38, Ephesians 1, 21, and Colossians 1, 16, the word principalities is used. In Greek, the word has the prefix of arche, which suggests archangel. Your text will probably say principalities. You may have a footnote, but in Greek, the prefix is arche, which means archangel, or it suggests this. Some think that this means there is a hierarchy of angels, as is suggested in 1 Peter 3:22, and I'll read that. 1 Peter 3:22, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. What does the Bible say about fallen angels? Have you checked on this yourself? Have you asked your folks about it? Have you asked your pastor about it? What about these fallen angels? What kind of information did Milton have to work from? Milton was very familiar with the entire Bible. He was also familiar with the Bible in both the Greek and in the Hebrew. Milton was fluent in both. What is his theology like? Did he make all of this up? And how much of it did he find in the Bible? What does the Bible say about fallen angels? Well, there are fallen angels as well as good angels. Lucifer, another archangel, rebelled against God and became the devil. This is according to Harper's Bible Dictionary. This is one the type of a question that I would always say, ask your dad. Following are verses often quoted in reference to the evil one. And I will read from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You have read almost these exact same words in Milton's Paradise Lost, right down to the detail of Satan and his angels assembling in the recesses of the north. Those verses were Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Most scholars agree that one-third of the angels fell into sin and became demons. This is very, very interesting. This was new to me, I did not pick this up on my own reading in the Bible. This information comes from the book of Revelation, and I suppose that's why I'm not familiar with the book of Revelation, except from a New Testament Bible survey class and a tiny, tiny little bit of reading on my own, mostly through the type of study where you read through the Bible in a year. And I must admit that as I read through Revelation, I generally am reading a little bit blindly. But Harper's Bible Dictionary tells us that it is generally agreed upon that one-third of the angels fell into sin. Isn't that incredible? And rebelled. One-third of the angels fell into sin, rebelled, and became demons. Does that sound familiar? Of course, that's what we've been reading about in Paradise Lost. That is Milton's claim. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. In the future, there will be a judgment upon the fallen angels. And I'll read from Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And I'll stop there. Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That was Jude 6. And Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That was Revelation 12:9. Whichever view you have of angels, it cannot be escaped that the Bible mentions them a lot and that they are greatly used by God to accomplish his will. Hasn't this been a fascinating study? I enjoy this. I read through Milton, and I hope that he doesn't have so many heresies that I would decide one day to disapprove of this study in Milton's Paradise Lost. However, I believe that I still approve of Milton's Paradise Lost. It is still a work that paints a beautiful picture for us of the original fall and the magnitude of it. We've learned a lot about angels today. We've learned that angels praise God. We've learned that angels serve as messengers to the world. We know they watch over God's people. They were sometimes used as instruments of God's judgment. We know that Christ created them. We know they carry out the will of God. We know that angels worship God and Christ. We know angels are wise. Angels are mighty. Angels are holy. Angels are innumerable. There are a myriad of them. Angels are not to be worshipped. And there are different kinds of angels. There are seraphim, there are cherubim, and apparently there are archangels. And what does the Bible say about those fallen angels? Well, we have Lucifer the archangel, the star of the morning, the son of dawn, fallen from heaven. That was Isaiah 14. Most scholars agree that one-third of the angels fell into sin and became demons. And we know that in the future there will be a judgment upon the fallen angels. Whatever view you have of angels, we can't escape it that the Bible mentions them multiple times, and they are used by God to accomplish his will. This little Bible study or excursion into angels, or angelology, as we would call the theology of angels, is from Harper's Bible Dictionary. That was published by Harper and Row in 1985. And you can get an online version of this from www.carm.org. CARM stands for Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. I haven't come across anything yet in CARM that seems to be heretical. He seems to be practicing very conservative theology. There are many resources available at that website. He even has a weekly, I believe, email type of update where they address current issues of the world and how we can interpret those things biblically. Thank you for joining me for our little excursion into angels and angelology as we are in the middle of our Milton's Paradise Lost studies. Maybe this will help you to enjoy your studies more, and it will certainly give you enough information to have sketched together a little outline of notes for angelology, angels in the Bible, and it will give you something to reference in case you are taking notes as you read through Milton's Paradise Lost. Thank you. The Lord bless you.